Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pod on the Tyne, your go-to Newcastle United podcast, brought to you by The Athletic. My name's Taylor Payne, and I am joined, as ever, by Private Waffles. Private Waffles, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, and especially happy that this has just become my name. I now don't have a first name, I just refer to it as Private Waffles.
I've been to the town hall, and we've had it changed properly.
Delighted.
How are you doing, though? Are you all right? Are you good? Are you well?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, not too bad at all,
Excellent. And also, as ever, joined by George Corkin as well. George, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm just delighted that this waffles thing has gained so much traction. There is actually an emoji for a waffle. So, I mean,
is there now?
There is an emoji, yeah, for a waffle.
All kinds of fun can be had with that.
Yeah, but I'm all right apart from that. It's been a slightly frantic last couple of hours.
Yes. Well, why is that exactly, George? Why has it been a frantic couple of hours? Do you want to give us a bit of info?
Well, so normally I wouldn't want to kind of date this, so you sort of have the magic of when you're listening to the pod, you could sort of think it was recorded 2 minutes ago, or it's being recorded in your own head as you're listening to it. But we are recording this on Tuesday lunchtime, and I'm only saying that because if you happen to be listening to it a couple of days later, to get our excuses in for being a bit dated. On Tuesday morning, it was revealed that documents have been submitted to Companies House, and they show for the first time that there is contact and an agreement reached between PCP, which is Amanda Staveley's company, and Mike Ashley, and it's about the sale of Newcastle United. Now, what we don't know at this stage is exactly what those documents are saying. There's a lot of talk about agreements and loans and various things like that. But what I am told is that it's also a fair reflection of the fact that an agreement is now very, very close to being agreed. We've talked about how close in the past. And it's about the sale of the club for a fee somewhere around 300 million quid. And really, the next step is, there is a process with these things, and the process has already started. It started a few weeks ago with the Premier League being informed of these discussions being taking place. The next step is that a deposit is paid and an agreement is reached. Then the Premier League get involved, and when they get regulatory approval for the director's test, that is when there is completion of the deal. And we are somewhere along that process, but what people are saying to me is that it's very close now. Nothing is finalized or formalized until that Premier League regulatory approval is given, and new owners can't do anything at the moment, or potential new owners can't do anything at the moment, and this shows that we're a long way along that path now. And so the interesting thing is that when I spoke to people this morning, there was some surprise about this document being placed at Companies House. In other words, it's not a and people weren't sort of taking ownership of it, in the sense that although it does appear on Companies House under PCP Capital Partners, which is Amanda Staveley's group, there is some doubt about who filed it and sort of what it means. Now, it will be up to either or both of Ashley and Staveley whether they make some kind of announcement to explain what's happened, to say that an agreement has been reached, but we don't know yet whether that will happen or not. So that's where we are. It's a bit confused, but the overall picture is very much confirmation of what we've known for the past sort of 2 or 3 weeks, that we're very close, and closer than it's ever been before. So if not quite time to open those cans, definitely time to get them chilled.
Yeah, and I think just as a reminder of exactly how long this process has been and everything that's been going on, George wrote a piece, I think it was about 10 days ago, on the sort of situation, 10 days ago, might be in 2 weeks now, and sort of outlining exactly that this has been more than a year in the making. Obviously, it goes even further beyond that if you go back to to Staveley's initial bid, and just saw that this does feel different in the sense that we've had 3 years of takeover talk and we've reached certain stages, but for these documents to suddenly go out on Companies House, I don't even pretend to know what's in them. I had a look at someone, had various people text me saying, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't know the sort of legalese that's in them. I don't know exactly how all these deals work, but the fact that they even exist, the fact that it has the names of Amanda Staveley on it, it has Justin Barnes, who we know is the person who has been tasked with essentially selling the club for Mike Ashley, that shows everything that George has been saying, it's been writing over the last couple of weeks, that this is as close as it's ever been. This moves it even slightly further on and hopefully means that we're not too far away. But until there is an announcement from either side, then we have to just wait and see. And there will be cynicism as the first port of call. But hopefully this seems to be another positive movement.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I mean, you can still read that piece on theathletic.com or on the app. And we're also working on a big sort of detailed read on Ashley and his tenure at the club. So you should be able to read that very soon too.
Could I use the word imminent, or are we not yet there?
I suppose that sort of depends on your definition of imminent. I mean, when I said things are closer than they ever have been before, people got very angry with me 24 hours later because nothing had happened. Yeah. So in the context of a big multi-million pound business being bought and sold, then yes, we're very close, but these things still take time. And, you know, it's worth going back through the sort of the timeline of what's happened so far and what needs to happen before anything becomes rubber stamped. And, you know, the final part of the equation is an agreement is reached and signed. I think at that point, deposits get paid. The Premier League become involved again, this time to do the director's test. When that director's test is completed successfully, if it's completed successfully, completion would take place. And completion is effectively rest of the money being paid, ownership gets transferred, and it then belongs to somewhere else. So now we don't know all the details about where we are along that process, or I'll rephrase that. All of those details haven't been made public. There is no change of ownership until the Premier League make their announcement and complete that test. So that, you know, that categorically hasn't happened yet. So, but we are, you know, we are somewhere along that process.
But this feels like it hasn't felt in the past. Do you know what I mean? With the Bin Zayed group and the original Amanda Staveley takeover bid, this doesn't feel like those two attempts. This feels like something different. Now, it might just be me, from a fan's point of view, getting fizzy knickers, but...
Oh no.
But are we at a different point here? Have we now crossed into a different territory? Is this somewhere we've been before or not?
Well, I mean, I think this is different territory, and therefore, hence me saying it's closer than it's been before. I mean, I am choosing my words very carefully, but that's why I'm using that phrase. I mean, with Amanda Staveley the first time, I went to her home and office in London. I saw copies of all the three bids that she made. I literally saw physical copies of them. I still have one. I saw proof of funds. All of those things kind of become worthless, though, because they weren't accepted or nothing happened. And so, you know, I saw copies of the bids, but, you know, if you want to be a proper conspiracy theorist about it, that doesn't sort of mean anything. I mean, it, you know, that could have been just to impress me. I don't think it was for a minute. Why would you want to do that? But, you know,
you're a hard man to impress, George, I'll be honest.
Because we're also sort of cynical about these things, you know, and I saw all those things, but Mike Ashley's people still called that process a waste of time, which she obviously disputed. The fact is, we do now have a written agreement which has been posted at Companies House, which is talking about contact and agreement and loans and all this.
There's various
kind of
figures
stuff.
And
It's very complicated. I mean, that's so far away from my sphere of expertise that I don't really sort of want to get into the whys and wherefores. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter, and you know, fair play to people for trying to decipher it. I've seen Kieran Maguire, the football financial expert, sort of quoted it in one of the local papers, but ultimately he said he doesn't know. So we're still at that point. Her side, they're not commenting. I've checked that out, and Newcastle never comment. So they won't be either. So I mean, unless this reaches the certain point, you know, it crosses a threshold where people decide they may as well say something. You know, we're going to have to just wait and see how it unfolds.
I'm sure the picture will actually become clearer in the next couple of days, though. And you would imagine someone would have an explanation for what this all is. I think it's just a case of us hanging fire, isn't it, and being patient until we know a little bit more concrete information about what's going on here. From a fan's point of view, though, you can't help see things like that and get a little bit excited and start thinking, actually, something's happening here, because I don't remember ever getting to this sort of stage before with any of the other bids or any of the other stories about a takeover where there's a document with both parties named on it.
That's right. We've seen lots of stuff, Companies House. We've seen a lot of stuff released from there. For example, you know, people submitting new company names and creating new companies, which would be the vehicle for a takeover. We've seen that happen multiple times. You know, we get a little spasm of interest, or by the end, people weren't even really paying attention to that sort of stuff. You know, one of those names is in there in this document, Cantervale Limited, which is a Staveley, company, and that, you know, that did come out a few weeks ago, but at that point, you know, that wasn't really, that wasn't different to what we've seen before. This, you know, this is different. We have to wait and see what this means. It certainly isn't bad news, quite the opposite. And this is, you know, it was an agreement from last week. And again, there's nothing done until the Premier League complete their director's test. And they were told that that could be as long as a month. So, we may still have a bit of a way to go before anything is completed. That doesn't mean they couldn't announce something in the meantime.
It's almost possible that they could put out some kind of statement and say, you know, waiting for the director's test to be completed or to happen, we can announce this. It's not something that they have to hold off on until that test's completed.
No. It just depends what they want to do, and it just depends on what both sides want to do. And I'm sure that this will be something that has been talked about. Really, if you look at the sort of the bigger picture of things at the moment, new owners would find it very difficult to do much of any substance at Newcastle at the moment. Now, I know this from having conversations because of the lockdown and because of coronavirus and because of the furloughing of staff and things like that. There's not a lot they can physically do. There's no games going on. The transfer window's not open. And they can't get into the building. They can't get into the building and work properly. So in some ways, it's actually in people's interests for this kind of process to have been to be going along fairly quietly. Because although, you know, we would get really excited, Newcastle fans would get excited and have a big party, they don't physically own it until they get regulatory approval and completion takes place. And there's very little they can do at the moment anyway. So, you know, it's honestly so tough when we're all at home. We all want stuff to be happening. We all want to be able to do things. Yeah. We all want to be able to, you know, and this is part of that real frustration. But we do have to let this regulatory period play out.
Well, what I will say is that if it does get announced, there will be a of my own occurring. That's all I'll say.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes. Anyway.
if that makes the final edit, I'll be surprised. But I'm...
Aww.
I hope so. Do you have anything to say to this, Waffles?
I'm just horrified. I'm shocked and horrified.
Harry sponsors Pod on the Tyne, a podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Harry's was founded by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were sick and tired of overpriced razors. Jeff and Andy knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And now, by taking less profit, Harry's offers great quality products for a fair price. Their amazing quality blades are now almost half the price of the leading five-blade brand.
The Harry's trial set includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. As a listener to Pod on the Tyne, you can start shaving with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for £3.95. Support our podcast and get your set delivered to you, including a razor handle, 5-blade cartridge, foaming shave gel, and travel blade cover by going to harrys.com/podonthetyne right now. That's harrys.com/podonthetyne.
Anyway, right, so what does this mean in the long term for Newcastle United? Anyway, if let's go into the realms of fantasy here, although I think we're already there. What would this mean going forward for Newcastle United? We had that poll up on Twitter in the last couple of days, which I'm going to be honest, Chris, bless you, you took some stick for that poll, mate, didn't you?
I mean, I take stick for most things, but this was, yes, it was. I hadn't even thought when George and I had a brief conversation on Monday evening about what we're going to chat about on the podcast. George said, "Oh, why don't you send out this? Why don't you send out this poll? Just, you know, asking fans." And I was like, "Well, surely the answer would be, yeah, we'll just, you know, that's sort of the point."
Yeah, and it was there by George.
By the way, I knew exactly what I was doing.
And then about 5 minutes after I tweeted it, and I just went back on Twitter and I just saw all these responses of like, what kind of a stupid question is this and all this. And I thought straight, I was like, yeah, George has sort of sold me a puppy as usual. Were you going to read out some of the more amusing responses? Is that what you were going to do? Or?
Well, I remember a couple of them. what kind of idiot would ask this question was one of my favourites. I presume the 4% are all Macams was the other one. There was some beauty in there. I do remember someone saying something along the lines of, "Are you okay, Chris?" or something like that. But I can't remember for definite. But yeah, the poll was basically along the lines of if Newcastle are to progress in football in terms, would it have to be under a new ownership? And I think it worked out at 93%. Or 94% yes, 5% no, and I think 2% was undecided or don't care or whatever. I'm not sure. I can't remember the exact terminology that was used. But I think it's interesting, though, because there was an awful lot of people voted on that poll. So even that 4% or 5% or whatever it was...
3%. Said, I'm just looking.
Was it 3%? 3%. Right, okay.
Yeah, 96%.
So even that 3%, that's still a decent number of people who now we can't rule out that there's been some outside influence in this. Maybe there is people who support other clubs who've decided to have a laugh at our expense. But there is a number of people there who think no.
Well, yes. Although, I mean, I think from such a high... I mean, it's had a brilliant response. So thanks again to people who have replied, even if it is just to say that Waffles is an idiot, which is factually correct anyway, so that's fine. But we have had 3,383 votes. 96% say, do Newcastle need a new owner to progress as a football club in any meaningful sense? Yes. I mean, that's a colossal majority. I mean, so yeah. Three people, that could just be people pressing the wrong button because they're stupider than Chris. Waffles, sorry.
That'll be difficult.
And margin of error plus, you know, Chris is a Newcastle reporter asking a question about Newcastle. I mean, I think it's pretty clear who a lot of his followers would be. I write maybe more generally about North East football a lot of the time, although I'm pretty sure that most of the people that follow me would be Newcastle fans as well. That's just a guess. But yeah, of course, you can't dismiss the possibility of other fans voting. I still think that's a colossal number. And the reason we did it was we knew the answer we were going to get, clearly, but it is intended to sort of inform this debate and also just really emphasise that real prevailing sense that there is around the club and has been for a long, long time, that this is not a club that is going to get better meaningfully with this ownership in control. And it's felt like that way for a very long time, hence some of the more caustic responses. But, you know, at a time when takeover is on everybody's lips, it's a chance to sort of talk about some of those things and remind people why. And you never know, some people who aren't Newcastle fans might be listening to this and might want to know, you know, this is a Premier League club, mid-table, looks all right to me. You know, that's the argument you often get. I mean, you could be Bolton, you could be Bury, you could be Blackpool, you could be some of those clubs. What is the problem? And it can be very, very tiring for us, I think, to to think about that and talk about it. But it's important at the moment, at a time when, you know, we're thinking about takeover, to sort of actually remember why it's important in the first place.
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think people are at the point now where it's just an obvious answer to them. I think that's probably why so many of these replies on here are so, what's the word? Cutting, I think. Good to be kind to Chris. But I think people have just got the point where it's like, well, of course it is. What are you doing? Why are you even asking me this question anymore? You know, and I get that. I mean, I get that. But it is interesting to see the numbers. I mean, there's one here which I think maybe throws our data into question a little bit, from Craig at Lost Souls Forever, and he's just said, "I voted no on the basis of how stupid a question it was."
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really help, but that doesn't help the statistical findings. I mean, it's Twitter, so, you know, nobody is suggesting that this is scientific. And I think, you know, you also, if you're basing things only on Twitter, you'll... The vast majority of people are very militant on Twitter because that, you know, you're provoking people, or people are being provoked into responding either in a positive way or in a negative way. If we think about the stadium, sometimes when a boycott's being called for or protests and things like that, it's not always in the same in the stadium. So I do think there is a group of people, or some people, who really just want to go to the football and watch it, and that's enough for them. I mean, they, you know, that kind of infuriates me a bit, or frustrates me sometimes, but those people are there. And for those people, perhaps the ownership is not the most important issue. And so, but I still think, I mean, I think, you know, I think 96% is a sort of huge number. It's kind of what I expected.
I agree, you know, but I think that there's two things as well. There's one that you often get, which again usually gets levelled by people who aren't necessarily in the Northeast, but they basically, it's sort of better the devil you know, that sort of argument, is to
be careful what
I mean, that sort of isn't a direct response to this question, but again, I think you get some fans who just think, oh well, it could be even worse if we had someone else, primarily from elsewhere, but also you do have a few fans who you speak to do say that. I also think another point, I suppose, you could possibly bring up, if we're going to relate this, because the conversation we're going to have is going to be more general, but if we were to relate this to the current takeover bid that's going on, is potential Saudi involvement, and do people, what is it that you want a new owners at any cost to progress, or is it that you'd rather stick with what you've got at the moment because you'd rather wait for quote unquote a different sort of prospect of someone to take over? So I think there are other elements to this, but I think 96 is, well, it's more than a landslide. It's absolutely colossal.
There's a couple of replies to this that I want to just read out, and these are not the ones which are absolutely tearing you a new one, Chris. These are the interesting ones that I've read through and thought, yeah, there's some good points here. So David JG on Twitter has said, some meaningful change could exist under Ashley if he was committed to the club going forward, but he clearly isn't interested in putting a strong progressive plan together. Someone else has to come in for consistent movement that doesn't fall backwards every few years. That was one. And then there was this other one from Jonesy, who was not at Nobby's Dog. I voted yes, of course, in brackets. Emir's stewardship of the club has drained us of our identity. The club stands for nothing. I'd even prefer owners with less wealth, as long as we were trying to be the very best we could be, irrespective of what division we played in. Interesting words there.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree. I tend to agree with that. I mean, I think if people are looking for Mike Ashley to change, they've missed the last 13 years or however long it's been. I mean, it's not going to happen now. You know, there are these, you know, we've seen these brief little sort of interludes of interest when he's become engaged, and then he's disappeared again and left the running to the club to others. And, you know, if you go through a list of the mistakes, you know, perhaps a lot of clubs would have things like this, but, you know, the club has been relegated twice. You know, it has become a byword for sporting austerity. It is stable financially, which is, you know, in lots of ways to be recommended, but it's an outsourced football club that isn't striving. It isn't striving for success, and it's not striving for financial improvement either. It's heavily reliant on TV money. And then you go back to some of the more sort of personal things, the changing of the stadium name, the payday loan company who were sponsors, the treatment of people who adored and adore the club, like Kevin Keegan, Alan Shearer, Jonas Gutierrez, Chris Hughton, things like that. And, you know, they're just little nicks to self-esteem. And the communication has been horrific over this time. And so every time something bad happens, there's no context for good things happening, or people don't think about it like that because they've used this dry corporate language, or the manager has been the focal point of all communication. And so the club has had no hinterland under Ashley, who's a pit. Now, it's not that everything that they've done has been horrific over that time. You know, there have been some kind of interesting things, like 10-year season tickets, for example. You know, there was a recognition why that sort of stuff was important. But they've never explained anything because the communication has been historically terrible. And every time something bad happens, it feels like it's in the context of every other bad thing. And there's just been so many of them. I mean, so there's been the two relegations. The fact is that Newcastle were a team and a club that were regularly in Europe and were regularly challenging in the top half of the table. And that's all gone. And they've become a byword for sort of sporting mediocrity. It's a profitable business, but it's not a business that's striving for things. It's not striving to win things on the pitch. And it's outsourced, so it's not striving internally either. And so you've then got the horrible stuff, you know, the really horrible stuff, like the way Kevin Keegan, somebody who absolutely loved and adored the club, was treated, eventually winning an employment tribunal against the club in which they admitted to deliberately misleading fans. You've got the treatment of Shearer, who came in to try and rescue the club, was told by Ashley afterwards that he was his best decision ever and then never contacted by him ever again. There was the treatment of Chris Hughton, who did brilliantly along with his players to get the team promoted back into the Premier League and was then sacked when they were 11th. There was the treatment of Jonas Gutierrez, a fabulous player we've talked about a lot in pods over recent weeks, who eventually won a disability discrimination tribunal against the club after being diagnosed with cancer. There's all these little things that have chipped away at the club's prestige. You can bring it up to date too, in terms of Benitez coming into the club, this huge moment, this massive moment for us all, where we all think, blimey, finally they're showing ambition and they're showing they're bringing in a manager who talks about history and potential, and then that same manager leaves after 3 years talking about 3 years of unfulfilled promises. And they've been incapable of putting two good decisions together. They've been very capable of putting a lot of bad decisions together. And it's reached the point where Ashley's on one side, fans are on the other, and there's not going to be a meeting place in between. And even when they show quote-unquote ambition. So, for example, this summer they spend 40 million quid on Joelinton. They do it on a player that the previous manager was adamant he didn't want and wasn't worth that much money, and has subsequently proven not to be able to score a goal. And it's like it's baffling. You know, those sorts of things are baffling, and you know it's too late.
I think from fans' point of view, and whenever we get to a position of some kind of positivity in and around the club, like with Rafa and also the fifth place season and getting to Europe and stuff like that, I think the frustrating thing from a fan's point of view is that it's never followed up and it's never built upon. We always seem to get to this point where we have a good foundation, we have a decent squad, or we are in a decent position in the league, or we have a good coach or a progressive manager or whatever, and then it just doesn't get built upon and it feels like wasted opportunities all the time, Chris. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, when we talked about Papis Cisse's goal last week and we talked about that season, I think that's the prime example of that, whereas everyone else saw it as a real positive. Newcastle finished fifth. Yeah, they only narrowly missed out on the top four. They wouldn't have qualified for the Champions League if they hadn't finished fourth, but they'd narrowly missed out. Mike Ashley sees that as well. I've spent 9.5 million on Papis Cisse in January. We didn't make it. He sees it as that. It's the bottom line, and that is the problem, as you see. And then the next season, Newcastle only bring in Vernon Nita. They try and rely on the youth players who clearly weren't ready for that sort of situation, and then it is that sort of, it just continues. Newcastle come up under Benitez, that, well, actually went down with momentum in a bizarre sort of way under Benitez, then they come back, but already by the time the 2017-18 season begins, it just seems like that any positivity sucked out of it. And part of that is the lack of communication, as George touched upon earlier. I just think that there feels like there's this vacuum, and you've got it at the moment as well, and Newcastle still haven't come out and declared publicly that they have actually furloughed some of their staff and that they are going to claim government money. We've seen Liverpool reverse their decision. We've seen Spurs reverse their decision. Newcastle haven't even confirmed that they've done that publicly in the first place, and it's so frustrating. It doesn't build up a rapport. Now, I do agree with George. I think that we are too far down the line for any sort of reproach between the two sides. There's too much water under the bridge, but I do think that things could be done differently, and that there was more of a chance for Ashley to at least build some sort of relationship up with fans, but it almost seems like we've got the point now where he doesn't want to.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that. I mean, that fifth place season, the Papa Cisse wonder goals and all that you were talking about, that to me was one of the most frustrating times as a Newcastle fan, because I remember that summer feeling so excited about where we were, what we had done that year beforehand, and the players that we had, and then you go into that next season and you don't make the investment that needs to be made, and it just dropped away, and it was kind of like, well, what's the point of all this? Do you know what I mean? Why are we sort of investing time and money, emotions into this football club when they don't seem to care about making it better? They just want to maintain the status quo.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I did an interview with Mike Williamson about. I went to see him a few times. He's a Gateshead player manager now.
Yeah.
Before the sort of lockdown, one thing he was chatting about is I was saying, when does that? I was like, does the negativity towards Mike Ashley from fans, does that infiltrate into the dressing room? And his response was, well, most of the time, no, but when it does, is probably over time. And he says, when I looked at it, you look at that 2011-12 season, and those players thought, you know, we can push on, we could do something here. We probably have overachieved in some ways, but if we add two or three players, this will really progress. And he says that over time, that mentality will just seep away, and he presumes that players now go to Newcastle thinking, right, the first target is to survive, then anything else on top of that's a bonus. And it's that change of mentality, and so that everyone within the club has this sort of artificial glass ceiling on what ambitions are, and it sucks some of the... Part of being a football fan, it's something which is sort of intangible. You can't really quantify it. It's that you do dream, you do believe that things can be better, and it's almost like that under Mike Ashley now is just become you can't even, as a fan, you have that part of you closed off. No matter how unrealistic it may be, you know, the fact that when Newcastle were getting to Wembley 2 years in a row in 98 and 99, when they're in the Champions League, and you can believe that things can get better and that you can progress, but under Mike Ashley it just feels like that. As I assume for a lot of fans, it just feels like, well, it's pointless almost, because there is this artificial glass ceiling of what we're going to achieve.
So there you go. That's everything we know at the minute. That is everything that we've heard, that we've learned. There's been a lot of movement this morning. There's all kinds of things still going on. It is all buzzing away in the background. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Hopefully, fingers crossed, soon we'll have some kind of announcement or something like that. You never know what's going to happen with Newcastle United, though. It could all be dust by tomorrow. Who knows? Anyway, it's been great talking to you, lads. George, thank you so much for your time. Private Waffles, a pleasure as always. Look after yourself. Take care of yourselves out there, and make sure you're washing your hands, staying indoors, and get those cans in the fridge and have them nice and chilled, because you never know what's going to happen. Thanks very much for listening to Pod on the Time. We'll speak to you soon. Cheers.